to turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. We'd like to read verses 9 through verse 16. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, God talking to Elijah, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse or jar. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. We have, through the years, preached many messages from 1 Kings 17. We've preached several here. There's much in this chapter. We see one message that could be preached is you have to be in God's place for God's provision. We see that word there in verse 4. We see it twice in verse 9. We see it again in verse 10. There was a there that God would faithfully provide for his people. But today we want to look at verses 9 through 16. We've preached from this passage many, many times as well. There's so much here. But by way of background to our text, Elijah sometime before was sent to Ahab to inform Ahab that God would judge the land because of the sin of idolatry. And the result of this would be that it would not rain for 3.5 years. This chapter tells us how that God miraculously supplied the needs of Elijah during this time of drought and during this time of famine. Our text also declares how that God not only supplied the needs of Elijah during this time, but he also supplied the needs of a particular widow woman and her son. And in this message, we want to look at this widow woman and her son as a type, first of all, as a type of salvation. And also, we see it as a picture of God's provision for the Christian life. We want to speak this morning on the subject of endless provision in famine-stricken times. And we want to notice five things about this woman. We see, first of all, what happened to her is a type of salvation. Jesus, teaching upon the amazing grace of God that brings salvation, used this woman as an example. Notice in the book of Luke, chapter 4, we'll keep a mark there in 1 Kings, but the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 25 and verse 26. Book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 25 and verse 26. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. Many widows were in the land at that time. But notice verse 26, but unto none of them was Elias or Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And he's talking about this particular woman. Of all the widows in the land, God in his grace, God in his mercy, sent Elijah to this particular woman. There were other widows. There were other widows in desperate need during this terrible time of drought and famine. But it was to this particular Gentile widow that Elijah was sent. God chose her. God chose her to be a recipient of his blessing. Not because of any merit in her, but entirely of the grace of God. And that which we read of here in 1 Kings chapter 17, we need to remember as we read this and as we study this that this is entirely of the grace of God. This is a time of, in 1 Kings chapter 17, it's a time of drought, it's a time of famine, and this woman was in a situation. She was in a situation that would result in certain death. And she knew that she was in that situation. In verse 12, she said that she was down to a handful of meal. Just a handful of cornmeal. And then she went on to say, and I have a little oil in a cruse or in a jar. And then she went on to say to Elijah, I am gathering 2 sticks. That I may go in, that is, go in my house, dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. She was in a situation that would result in certain death. She was in dire straits. And as you read those words of verse 12, you cannot help but notice the helplessness in her voice. You cannot help but notice the hopelessness that she was in. And you cannot help but notice the despair that she was in. She was facing certain doom. And in her view, she was in a situation from which there was no escape. Now, before salvation, we were in a state that would result in certain doom. We were in a state of bondage. We were in a state of misery. We were held securely in the chains of sin, in the chains of evil, in the chains of wickedness. We were hopelessly trapped. Hopelessly trapped in corruption. Hopelessly trapped in guilt. Hopelessly trapped in error. Hopelessly trapped in ignorance. Living in a state of condemnation. Living in a state of alienation. Living in a position of estrangement from God. And at enmity with God. And you and I, before salvation, we were hopelessly bankrupt before God. Just like this woman, we were on a road to certain ruin. And there was no escape, humanly speaking. We were facing certain doom. We were in dire straits. Just as God sent by his grace Elijah unto this poor and helpless widow, and he sent him with a message. He sent him with a message from God.
And God caused her to hear the message. So it was with you and I. God not only caused her to hear the message, God caused her to believe the message. She believed what Elijah was saying. Not only did God cause her to hear, not only did God cause her to believe, but God caused her to act upon what she had heard. And that's how it was with you and I. There we were in our miserable condition, dire straits, facing certain doom. And God came to us with a message. And God caused us to believe that message. And God caused us to act upon that message. This is a type. This is a picture of salvation. And just as this woman was really brought from a state of death to a state of life, so you and I. She was brought from sorrow to joy. She was brought from a situation of hopelessness to a state of hope. She was brought from despair to certain assurance. She was brought from poverty to riches. She was brought from emptiness to fullness. And so it is with you and I when the Lord saved our soul. You see, this woman, just like you and I that are saved, this woman was rescued from her situation. She was rescued from her condition. She was rescued from her impending doom. And so it was with you and I. So we have here a picture of salvation. Secondly, though this woman was saved, rescued, and spared from her certain doom, she would continue to live in a famine-stricken country. So it is with you and I. We've been saved. We've been rescued. We've been spared from the doom that we were facing. But we still have to live in this world. And this world is a place of famine. And this woman would continue to live in a famine-stricken land. Now, we don't know how long this woman had, by the time we get to our text, we don't know how long she had been experiencing the results of famine. But we know that by the time that Elijah went to her house, the brook Kereth had already dried up. There had not been rain for some time. The crops had either died in the field or were dying. The livestock had either already died, or if it had not already died, it certainly was dying. People, perhaps it already died as a result of the famine. But there were people who were dying. There were people who were looking at death. And this widow and her son were one of them. Though God saved her, rescued her from her situation, she would continue to live in a world of famine. She would continue to live in a world of need. She would continue to live in a world of bankruptcy. And so it is with you and I. Yes, we're saved. We're on our way to heaven. But you and I still live in a world of famine. We still live in a world of need. We still live in a world of bankruptcy. We still live in a world that is filled with grief and filled with sorrow and filled with heartache. That is the world that you and I live in today. Yes, we're saved. And thank God we are saved. And thank God we are on our way to heaven. But we still live in a world that has a spirit of hopelessness about it. We still live in a world in which there is no rest. This woman continued to live in a famine-stricken land. She continued to live
with futility. You think about the time in which this woman lived. The people had given themselves over to Baal worship. And don't you think that as day after day, week after week, and month after month, there was no rain and no rain in sight, that the people would go to the altars of Baal and they would cry out to Baal, send some rain, send some rain. But I'm telling you, it was all futile, for their gods were dead. And we live in a land today, though you and I are saved, if we've had a saving experience of Jesus Christ, though we are saved, we live in a land of futility. We live in a time when people are crying out to the gods of Baal, but to no avail. It is a time of great futility. And though this woman was saved and rescued and spared, she continued to live in a world filled with death. If she would go outside of her doors, and if she would walk down the streets, she would see death. She would see that which is dying on every single hand. And you and I, if we would walk around, if we would open our eyes, we see death everywhere. Spiritual death. Physical death. People dying that are not ready to die. People dying that are not prepared to die. We live in a land of death. Thirdly, though this woman was saved from her situation, she lived in a barren land. But while she lived in that barren land, she had the instruction of God. Just as Elijah received instruction in time of famine. Notice verse 3. God told Elijah, get thee hence and turn thee eastward. Hide thyself by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan. There was God's instruction for Elijah. And God said, the ravens shall feed thee there. And I don't believe the ravens would have fed him anywhere else. It was there. But he had God's instruction. Verse 9, after the brook dried up, God said to Elijah, get thee to Zarephath. There again is God's instruction, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there, nowhere else. He had to get there to sustain thee. My point is, in a barren land, God's people still had instruction from God. So it was with Elijah. So it was with this woman. Notice verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and thy son. She also had instruction from God. And you and I live in a great time of need. We live in a time of grief. We live in a time of sorrow and heartache. A time of anguish. A time of hopelessness. A time of helplessness. In a time of restlessness. In a time of great worry. In a time of great stress. In a time of great confusion. And in a time of great futility. But through it all, and in it all, just like Elijah, and just like this widow woman, we have instruction. We have instruction from God. Listen. Listen to God's instruction. We all have times of drought. We all have times of emptiness. We all have times of barrenness. But in those times, we are not left. God's people are never left without God's instruction. We are never left without a word from God.
There is always something
that God would have us to do. So no matter what your situation is today, no matter what it is, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what your difficulties are, there is instruction. There is instruction from above. Listen. Listen to God's instruction. What will increase your famine is to continue to do it your way instead of listening to the instruction of God. Fourthly, though this woman lived in a barren land, she not only had instruction, but she had the promise of God. She had a promise of God, just like Elijah. God told Elijah, you get to the brook Kereth, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. That's a promise. And then later he would say, go ye down to Zarephath. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. That's a promise. And now Elijah arrives at the widow woman's house, and we read that God told her in verse 15, the barrel of meal shall not waste. She said, all I have is a handful of cornmeal. The promise from God was, the barrel of meal shall not waste. Elijah, all I have is a little oil, and the cruse of oil shall not fail. And then we see in verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She had the instruction of God. She obeyed that instruction. And then the promise was fulfilled. She, he, and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. She had instruction from God. God enabled her to obey His instruction. And God's promise was fulfilled. So it is today. You and I, we live in a barren land, where if we're saved, we're on our way to heaven. We have something to look forward to. But in the meantime, we live in a land of barrenness. We live in a time of sorrow. We live in a time of anguish. But through it all and in it all, we have the instruction of God. We have the promise of God that if we'll just obey His instruction, God will provide for us along the way. Which brings us to our fifth point. Though this woman continued to live in a barren land, she had something that was unfailing. She had something that was inexhaustible. Again, verse 16 says, and the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail. Just as God said. Just as God said. We need to trust. We need to believe. The instruction of God. Believe and trust the promise of God. And it shall be as God said. Now, what is typified here, the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail. What is typified here is the truth that is stated in Colossians 1, verse 9. It pleased the Father that in Him, that is, in Jesus Christ, should all fullness dwell. You think about the world in which you and I live. And there is such a thing. There is such a thing today as all fullness. All fullness. You think about the wasteland, that is all around us. You think about the devastation, the barrenness, and the emptiness. But then think that there is such a thing as all fullness. And God not only tells us that there is such a thing as all fullness, He is gracious enough to tell us where it is. It's in Christ. All fullness is in Christ. All fullness. Whatever I need, I can find in all fullness. Whatever it is I need, it's there in all fullness. In all fullness, there is an abundance of supply. There is supply for every season of my life, for every trial, for every persecution, for every sorrow, for every joy. There is supply. There is everything I need. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that? Do you believe that there is such a thing as all fullness? Do you believe that all fullness is in Jesus Christ? You say, yes, I believe that. Then why do we continue to look for all fullness where it is not? It is in Christ. Oh, how we ought to rejoice that there is such a thing as all fullness. In a world where Satan walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, seeking to get advantage over us, seeking to hinder us, seeking to turn us aside from the Lord, there is such a thing as all fullness. And we have the instruction of God, and we have the promise of God. Now, we've preached on this before, but this is wonderful. When I read here that this woman went to that barrel of meal, and every time she went, what did she find? She found meal. And every time she picked up that little jar, there was oil in it. Every single time. We don't know for how many days, but it tells us she did so for many days. And she did so until it finally rained. 3.5 years without rain. And this barrel of meal and this jar of oil never once failed. And that is a picture of the all fullness that you and I have in Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that she went to that barrel of meal. She went to that jar of oil every single day. And every day she went there, there was meal. And every day she went there, there was oil. No matter what a day might bring forth in her life, she found what she needed in that barrel. She found what she needed in that little jar. And every single day, I can go to Jesus Christ. And no matter what a day might bring forth, every single day is all fullness in Jesus Christ. And every single day I can receive what I need in Christ. She not only went to that barrel of meal and jar of oil every single day, I believe that perhaps she went there several times a day. It didn't matter when she went. If she went in the morning, if she went in the afternoon, if she went in the evening, the result was the same. There was meal in the barrel. There was oil in the jar. And I can go to Jesus Christ in the morning. I can go in the afternoon. I can go in the evening. And every single time I go to Jesus Christ, I find that there's all fullness in Christ. There's everything I need. Doesn't matter what else is happening. Doesn't matter that there's a famine everywhere else. I have what I need in Jesus Christ. You know what? No matter how much she gathered out of that barrel, The next time she went, there was still meal in that barrel.
No matter how much oil she poured out of that jar, the next time she went to that jar, there was still oil. And it doesn't matter how much I draw from Jesus Christ,
He's still full. He still has all fullness.
This barrel of meal, this jar of oil, it was always
where she could get to it. It was always there.
So it is with Jesus Christ. He's always there. Whatever else is going on doesn't change the fact that all fullness dwells in Christ and that He's there. Wherever you are, wherever you're there is, Jesus Christ is there and He has all fullness. He has everything you need. Go to Him. Draw from Him. And this is what this woman did. What this woman needed most was in that barrel. What she needed most was in that jar. What she needed was not in her cupboards. Her cupboards were bare. She could go to those cupboards every single day. And every single time she'd find the same thing. The cupboards are bare. And you can go out into the world to get whatever you want. To get whatever you think you need. And I'm telling you, you're going to find over and over and over again the cupboards bare. But there is a place where all fullness dwells. And that is in Jesus Christ. And I can go to Him. And the cupboard is never bare. What she needed, she could, if she chose to do so, leave her house, go out into the streets, and look for what she needed. But the only thing in the streets in this time of famine was death. She wouldn't find what she needed in the streets. She wouldn't find any meal in the streets. She didn't find that oil in the street. She found it in the barrel. She found it in the jar. Every single time. She could go out, if she chose to do so, into the fields. And no doubt there were many who were in the fields looking for something. But she would have found that the fields are barren. What she needed was not in the ground. It was turning to dust. She could go and dig and dig and dig. But everything was turning to dust. My point is, she could spend all day if she wanted to, looking in all kinds of places. For what she needed. And had she done that, she would have returned home every single day, worn out. She would have returned home empty. She would have returned home weak and hungry. And is that not the picture of many today? They spend their lives looking for that which will satisfy, looking for what they so desperately need, everywhere where it's not. And they come home worn and empty. And what's so sad is, they go to bed, they get up the next day, and they do it all over again. And that's how they spend their lives. Weak and hungry. But the point is, what she needed was in that barrel. And what you need today, you say, well, you don't know my heart, you don't know my needs, it doesn't matter. The condition of your heart, your circumstances do not change the fact that all fullness is in Christ. So whatever it is today that you need,
However desperate your situation may appear. You may be in dire straits. You may be facing certain doom. I'm telling you, what you need is in Jesus Christ. There is instruction from God. There is a promise from God. The instruction is, flee to Christ. The promise is, you'll find what you need in Christ. Or you can spend your life looking everywhere else and going hungry. We see also that she found in that barrel of meal and in that jar of oil that which would satisfy her, that which would satisfy her son, and that which would satisfy Elijah. Everywhere else was disappointment. Everywhere else was dissatisfaction. If she wanted satisfaction, if she wanted strength, if she wanted that which would encourage her and rejuvenate her every single day, she had to go to that barrel. And don't you think that every time she put her hand down in that barrel and brought out meal, oh, the encouragement that filled her heart, the joy, the thankfulness that filled her heart, that which would sustain her, that which would provide her contentment, was in that barrel and in that jar. You know what? I don't believe that she ever went to that barrel and reached down into that barrel and nothing. Reached down again and again, nothing. The barrel is empty. That never happened. She never went away disappointed. And you'll never go to Jesus Christ where you will not find all fullness. You will find what you need in Jesus Christ. You will not go away disappointed. You will not go away defeated. What you need today is in all fullness. And can you think of anything that all fullness doesn't cover? I mean, if there is anything, it's not all fullness. It covers all things. So she never went to that barrel disappointed. She never went to that barrel and found that it was empty. And so it is with Jesus Christ. If she was hungry, if her son was hungry, if Elijah was hungry, she needed to go to that barrel. It wasn't enough to know about the barrel. It wasn't enough to know that there's meal in the barrel. It wasn't enough to know that there's oil in the jar. She not only, and again, there are many of God's people, you know, you've heard all your life that what you need is in Christ, and you believe that, but you still wander the streets looking bare cupboards for what you need. It's not enough just to know it. If she was hungry, she couldn't just sit there and look at the barrel and say, I know that there's meal in that barrel. She had to get up and she had to go to the barrel and she had to draw out of the barrel. And so it is with you and I. We have to go to Christ. We have to draw from him. It was not enough for her to sit back and contemplate going to that barrel. She's not sitting there saying, I know there's meal in that barrel. I'm hungry. My boy's hungry. Elijah's hungry. You know, I ought to get up and I ought to go to that barrel. Contemplating will not do it. You have to go. You have to come to Jesus Christ. And every time she went to that barrel of meal and that jar of oil, she found what she needed. Every time, I believe there was fresh supply. She never went there and got stale cornmeal. Never. It was always fresh. We read there In verse 15, she and her house did eat many days, and it was never stale. And I can go to Christ every single day, and there will be fresh supply every single time. It'll never be stale. We see also, I believe that after a while, perhaps not at first, perhaps the first few times she went to that barrel and drew out the meal, and the first few times she poured that little oil out of that jar, she perhaps didn't go with expectation. She perhaps went with some doubt. I wonder if there's going to be meal in the barrel today. I wonder if there's going to be oil in the jar today. But you know, after she went for a while, there were no more doubts. She knew. But every day I go to that barrel, no matter how much I took out the day before, there's meal there. And every day I go to that little jar, there's oil there. And so it is with Jesus Christ. She went with great expectation. She went expecting to find meal. She went expecting to find oil. And when you and I go to Jesus Christ, we ought to go expecting to find what we need. And if we do so day after day after day, pretty soon it sinks in. There's oil there. There's meal there. There's what I need. It's there. And we just expect it to be so. And so it was with this woman. Through it all, God's word proved to be true. And so it is for you and I today. No matter what it is that you're going through, no matter what your situation, no matter what your circumstances, through it all, God's word will prove to be true. The barrel of meal wasted not. There are many uncertainties in every single day. But here is one thing for certain. Everything you need is in Christ. That's certain every single day. And if you'll go to Him, you'll find what you need. You'll find an inexhaustible supply to draw from. The way to live, the way to live above a famine-stricken world is to obey God's instruction. Believe His promise and draw from an endless supply. And if you will do that, just like this woman, though there is famine all around, you will live above this world. That is the way to live above this world. If you're here today, and there's never been a time in your life where you have personally received Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus says to you today, come. All things are ready. Everything you need to be saved is in Jesus Christ. Just knowing that will not save your soul. You have to come. You have to come to Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about coming up here. I'm talking about coming to Jesus Christ. And you receive from Him. You turn from your sins, you turn from wherever you're at, and you go to Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, all things are ready. All things are ready. Everything that is needed for your salvation, it's there, it's in Christ. Do you believe that today? You say, well, I believe that. I've heard that all my life. Act upon it. Come to Jesus Christ. I promise you, if you'll come today to Jesus Christ, He will not turn you away. He will not turn you away if you come. And you and I, they're saved. Whatever it is that we are going through, whatever it is we'll have to go through, may we always remember all fullness is in Christ. Everything I need is in Christ. So no matter where I'm at, I've got to get to Christ. I've got to get near to Christ because everything I need is in Him. Don't run away from Christ. In time of crisis, in time when you're in dire straits, don't flee from Christ. Don't you see what you need is in Christ? Draw near to Him. Whatever your condition today, draw near to Christ. All fullness is in Christ. And I'm glad that that's always been so. And here we are, May 9th, 2010, and still true today. All fullness is in Christ. Saints of God have been drawing from Christ since Adam. And He's still got all fullness here today. Would you trust Him today? Brother Larry, you come and lead us in a verse of song.